You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Hey there, Pharmacy Podcast listeners, and a special shout out to our pharmacy owners. Do you feel like you're expected to do more for your patients with less? Less time? Less money? There's a product out there I have to tell you about that will do more for your customers and more for your pharmacy. The Pen Needle UltiGuard Safe Pack provides 100 premium pen needles and a sharps container all in one. All this for the same copay for your patients as pen needles alone. When pharmacies dispense the Pen Needle UltiGuard Safe Pack, they see consistently higher revenue and higher margins. Check out the Pen Needle UltiGuard Safe Pack for yourself. Go to UltiGuardSafePack.com/podcast. That's UltiGuardSafePack.com/podcast. Let us know what you think, and thanks for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Good evening, everybody. This is Dr. J. Max, Pharmacy Podcast Network. On the coronavirus show, we're doing our blog session, and I wanted to catch up today with Ken Sternfeld, the Chief Pharmacist Officer at RxVIP. Hi, Ken. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Jay. How are you doing?
Doing very good. I spent some time working in the pharmacy over the weekend and on the front lines with the other healthcare providers, dealing with the problems of the coronavirus with patients face to face. But I understand that you're sequestered at home. How did that go?
Well, I am. You get to spend a lot of quality time with yourself and your wife, 42 years, and it's really interesting because isolation is really a very challenging thing to do. So. Certainly, you know, communicating with Ronnie is fine, but it's just there's such a missing ingredient in not being able to go out and do the things that you normally do, and it really creates a sense of helplessness, and it's very difficult. I must say it's a challenging environment that we're all going through, and personally, I reach out to my kids, I reach out to friends, but it's. Very, very challenging, Jason. It really is.
Knowing you as well as I do, you tend to do a lot of thinking, even when you're not sequestered at home. What role are you thinking about pharmacists outside of working on the front lines at retail locations and in hospitals? Do you see us taking part in this epidemic that we're dealing with in the United States?
Well, you know, what I think about, and again, you're right, my brain, it kind of makes my hair hurt sometimes when I keep thinking of all the things, but I always try and stay focused on really why I believe that pharmacists' roles should be enhanced, because we truly are not just that medication management expert, but we really are providing all of the aspects of care and compassion and empathy and doing all the things being so accessible in the retail environment. And as you know, we advocate for provider status. So when we do it day one, and we do it through our process of developing our business model, when a crisis comes, it's about just going back to the basics. Right now, the pharmacist, who is not a provider in the world of legislative paperwork, is in fact the provider right now, like you are. And talking to those patients who come in, anxious, worried, panicking, and being in a position where you can provide the needed face-to-face accessibility. So when I think about all the ways to do things, it always comes back to the same focus that the pharmacist should be able to connect with that patient, use his or her cognitive skills to provide the kind of information, education, awareness to how they could stay on a path to better health. So what's going on right now with COVID-19 is really just a call to action that more pharmacists, 309,000 plus, who are not recognized as providers, must be included in any emergency action plans that our healthcare system, which is short of professionals to do these things, they must embrace the qualities and the skill sets of pharmacists now. So I think about ways to just continue to raise awareness that pharmacists need to be at the point of care to help those patients.
We're here, right? We're accessible. We're always the people that we're always the service providers that the public can see, always on the front lines of everything that goes on in the medical field with patients. And we see them more readily than even their medical doctors do. What aspects of this situation that we're in right now, where people are not supposed to be leaving their homes, what role can we play when patients can't leave their house? How do we help them be better served and be staying on their medicines well? How do we make sure that they're staying healthy? How do we follow up with patients as pharmacists who want to be healthcare providers? What role, what tools could we use? What do you see us working on?
Well, we have to kind of flip the coin, and we have to say if they can't come to us, we need to go to them. And it's not about physically going to them, because we need to maintain the distance, the social distancing that is the only stopping process to the spread of this deadly disease. So the way we do it, Jay, is that we use the technologies and the innovations that have been available with many, many restrictions on telehealth, telemedicine. Now, we are doctors of pharmacy. I say that on behalf of the profession, even though I am a registered pharmacist, but we are the experts. So if the patient can't get to us, it's our job, our responsibility. It's what we signed up for when we went to school, to get the patient and communicate to the patient. So the CMS guidelines for telehealth were dramatically changed in the last 4 or 5 days to allow physicians to reach out to their patients without the state-to-state guidelines, without the only can do it in a nursing home, without the only specific encounters you can do. CMS, our government, said, we need physicians and care providers to reach the patient. If they can't come to us, we need to give them the platform. And telehealth, and what we're doing now with RxVIP, is to really put the provider in the hands, in the face of the patient, that he or she can really be served. And it's about population health. We have the health of an entire nation, Medicare recipients, as well as all of the other people who take, last year, 4 billion prescriptions. So, Jay, we have to go and make sure that we stay connected. And we're doing that every day for the last week, and we're going to continue to do it for as we get through this tremendous crisis and chapter, and we believe beyond, because we need to stay connected. That's what healthcare is all about.
And in what way is RxVIP working in the telehealth system? And is it just the fact that we're gonna call our patients, that when we work within a doctor's office, we're gonna call them up on the phone, or what are we doing to make this a true interventional system?
Well, you know, from the day I had the opportunity to meet you, and you and I started a journey of RxVIP, it was about the clear pathway that to become a provider, and of course our goal was always to become a provider, we had to prove the value by collaborating with a provider. And that's why we took that day off, and we left the retail environment to work collaboratively with the physician. So what we're doing today is no different. We are using telehealth as the collaborative tool where a pharmacist and a physician working side by side, picture by picture. You're not side by side. Dr. Goodman is home. He's quarantined as well. I'm here.
It's terrible here.
And I'm quarantined.
True.
But the patients in the practice need the services that both of us have provided to them over the last several years and need to continue to provide to them even more today. So what we're doing is continuing the collaboration of bringing this telehealth solution to every practice that we can to say we're a provider of a service that you can really save your practice. Because if the patients can't come in to see you, you can't practice medicine. So here's a solution. And there's no charge to them for 2 months, and then it's $45. But believe me, we're not selling anything. But you know what we do, Jay? We put the pharmacist in the box, because that pharmacist comes along with that at no additional charge, but always enhancing the encounters, the outcomes, the reimbursement, because healthcare is still about money. And we're still doing it every single day through telehealth.
And when we talk about pharmacist as a provider, are we saying that we want the pharmacist to be like a doctor, that they're going to write prescriptions for patients, they're going to have encounters that are going to compete with a physician? Or what role is that pharmacist having in enhancing the doctor's practice?
Well, I have to take like a two-sided hat. There's the hat about advocating for provider status, where every pharmacist should be able to practice at the height of his or her license and basically collect to work with the physician as a partner, not to go past the line of saying, even though you are a doctor of pharmacy, they're a doctor of doctoring. So right. there needs to be that not separation, that's not the right word. It's that fusion. It's like being on a doctor explained it to me, a Dr. Mulani, who's a very, very, very wonderful doctor who actually is very active on LinkedIn and Facebook. And he had put out something about how he felt about pharmacists. And I got to speak to him and meet him. And he loves pharmacists. But he explained to me that it's kind of like a soccer game, as he explained to me. You know, you have strikers, you have defenders, you have midfielders, and everyone's got their role to win the game. You know, if the goalie runs all the way up to the front and tries to score a goal, then he's not really doing what he should to, you know, block the goal. Right. So I truly believe in a team approach, in an intra-professional relationship, the pharmacist can absolutely go to the height of his or her license without pushing the envelope, where the physician feels like you're taking my job, you're taking my responsibility. What we do provide is information for them to make a clinical decision. We give them the tools. It's like we're carrying a craftsman toolkit for medication, for pharmacogenetics, to tell them, as you've seen, to identify the right drug and the right dose. And instead of going through 36 pages, you, the pharmacist, and you are the one who created that model, is you distill it down to the point where the doctor in 30 seconds can see what's right and what's better for that patient. So that's what the provider status, or to me, the provider action is. We are pharmacists who have tremendous skills, okay? But we're not doctors. I want to be the best damn pharmacist I can be, and then to bring value to any physician who sees that value. And that's the way that we've always been successful in moving our business forward.
Exactly. Pharmacists, especially RxVIP pharmacists I've seen, are those types of people who deliver and dispense care, compassion, and empathy within the practice of the physician. And I see us enhancing the physician's practice by distilling and getting rid of noise that the practice has, and being able to follow up with patients in a way that traditionally a physician might not have been able to, due to time constraints and volumetrics amount of information that would be coming into a practice. We're able to help that practice look at what's important, get the alerts that are important, and work through following the clinical tracks of a patient in a way that, you know, that could be our focus, and that the practice, the physician working in the practice, might not have the amount of time that they need to do all of the extra follow-up that occurs within a clinical track of a patient. And I think that that's something that we have a very good handle on, and it's something that pharmacists have always been about. Pharmacists have really been, besides the dispensing of medication, we've been about the wellness of our patients and understanding holistically of the patient. When I say holistically, I mean the whole patient, the whole thing that patients have, whether they're on medicine, they're on diet and exercise, they take nutraceuticals, and everything that can make a patient better, we have the ability to put in the hands of a practice.
Absolutely. And you've seen firsthand that time management for patient care is the most critical aspect. If you have a diabetic patient, an obese patient, someone who's got COPD, there's multi-core morbidities. You know, you and I have sat down recently and looked at what can we do as a clinical track for that patient to keep him or her healthy. There are dozens of touch points, dozens of remote access monitoring, things of face-to-face. And truly, the medical profession, and of course, this is not a good example with what's going on with COVID situations now, but it even before, it wasn't about enough time. And if you take the time and make the time to follow that patient and to guide them, it's not just about adherence to the medication.
Correct.
It's adherence to their life.
Exactly. Yes.
And no one in the healthcare profession, in my opinion, is more respected than that pharmacist because he or she has been there for them. And it's just in our blood.
Well, think about it even just, you know, in general conversation. Let's just talk about a small practice, like an MDVIP practice or a small practitioner who's independent. They maybe have 250 patients. That's probably a luxury for them to have a smaller practice, but these other physicians who are working in large healthcare groups could have thousands of patients. How is a doctor supposed to touch base with every patient in a month period? Right?
Well,
you only have so much bandwidth to handle what's coming in. So that's why we want to be there to work hand in hand to take some of that bandwidth, to be able to address the ills of the practice and those patients and work with them on a one-on-one environment.
Correct. And I think the reason you and I and Crystal and our team were able to get the door opened easily at a physician's office is because we went in with our specialty. We knew what their pain points were. Now, certainly they study medication, but if we go in as that medication person to do the things that their work staff, to help the work staff, even with things as mundane, and they're not mundane, as prior authorizations or medication refills, but to be there for them to walk down the aisle as they have or the hallway and say, you know, what medication here do you think would be better if I have to replace this or that? It's the immediacy. We're part of the care team and we are a peer-to-peer in the eyes of the physician. Thankfully, we're not coming in at a lower level, you know, as a subservient in the practice. Now, if we come in at that peer-to-peer level and we take the attitude, oh, I'm so good, this is what you have to pay me because I'm this pharmacist who's that expert. And yes, doctor, I can do A, B, C, but I need to be paid X, Y, Z. Those are the situations where the door doesn't get open. In
right.
fact, sometimes it gets slammed
yes.
in your face. We never did that. Our
nope.
goal was to deliver better patient outcomes, be that medication expert, because half of the problems that patients experience in their overall health is mismanagement of medication. We know it, and they know it, and they know that we're the experts. Thirdly, we need to increase their reimbursement because healthcare is a business, and we do that. And also, finally, the quality measures, the patient satisfaction, the MIPS and the MACRA and all those other things that accountable care organizations live by, we address those. But Jason, today, sadly but gladly, the pharmacist can do more for the COVID-19 horrific environment because we are exactly that provider who can focus on medication. There's an old medication, Jay, that I'm sure your patients have come in for, asking, begging you for.
Yes.
All of a sudden, it's something new that people are going to want to prescribe and they're going to want to take and they don't know enough about it.
Right.
Who are they going to get that information from?
they got to get it from the pharmacist.
Right. I saw situations this week where because of the panic, I mean, that's the word, all of a sudden everyone has to get this drug, that to get enough to put away, that mm-hmm. they would be putting, you know, instructions of take 1 3 to 4 times a day. And if you look at what that patient was, if God forbid, they knew that they were only putting, asking a prescription for 90 so that the prescription, the insurance would pay for because of a 30-day supply. So that,
yes.
But then, if they, God forbid, took that 3 times a day, mm-hmm. they'd kill themselves. So the urgency in COVID-19 scenarios, not just with the people who are infected, because we can be the place in the future or in the present to do that testing. Who better than a pharmacist? So hopefully the legislation and the emergency guidelines being enacted will take some of the requests that have been on the table for legislation for years, where we were going to be given provider status. It was a legislation from Buddy Clark, one of the, I think he's the only pharmacist
in
the Senate. So he brought this and it was like, it's just not signed because it was said for rural areas where there aren't enough physicians. Well, Jason, you live on Long Island like I do.
Yep.
Northwell Health is the biggest ACO practice in Mount Sinai. They mm-hmm. don't have enough physicians. So a pharmacist doesn't have to do this in a rural area. Main Street USA, in every state of the union, because thankfully we don't have only 49, now it's 50. West Virginia announced their first COVID virus today. So every state in the union should have a pharmacist providing services and being paid for their services through the normal channel that Medicare has established for paying providers. We're providing a service. We should be compensated for that fairly and equitably, because that's going to save lives.
You are 100% correct.
I hope I'm 1% correct, and I hope that the 100 people who maybe have to sit in a room to make this decision to enact this life-saving legislation do it. They don't have to listen to you or to me or to anybody else. You know who they need to listen to? The people in this nation who are begging for help because the healthcare system doesn't have the infrastructure and the people. When there are 300,000 people ready to help and it gets tied up because someone doesn't want to put something in writing, that we can't live in politics.
Every city, every town, every village in America has an underserved community who just don't get the proper attention that they need. And there's enough pharmacists in this country to give them the coverage in every part of the country.
Absolutely.
And we're here. Okay. What do I say? I said it the other day, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. Let's go.
Well, it's almost like we're at war, and we are at war with the coronavirus. And you bring in all the armed forces. And now it's time to bring in the Marines. I mean, the pharmacists of the Marines. And just bring us in. Jason, it's Sunday night, and I'm going to tell you and your listeners something that is really, it's kind of like, it's going to happen, God willing, but I want everyone to know where we're going, where we believe, what we can do to help the pharmacists. We're instituting something called the Population Health Pharmacy Program, where we are going to give, in anticipation of what we believe will be legislation to allow pharmacists to provide services to the Medicare beneficiaries and be paid. We are going to start to look at shipping iPad solutions into every pharmacist, every pharmacy location, so they can do population health, medication management, and they can be paid for the services that they deliver. We're being very proactive, but this law, this government action must go through. It must be passed, because when it does, immediately, just like in the press conferences that we just both listened to,
yes.
they talk about what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Well, we can, once this law is put into action, RxVIP and our strategic relationships with WellTrack One and others will immediately go into action and put the tool in the palm of the hand of every pharmacy location, the independent pharmacy at the communities, in the neighborhoods. These are the people who are the backbone, as you know, of our profession.
Yes.
And again, the big box retailers, great. Let them just be what they are. And it's okay. We were both there. We both worked there.
Yep.
But they should even be paying their employees now who are on the front lines, putting their lives and their families at risk. I think CVS is the only pharmacy company that hasn't increased their pay. I think Wegmans did, and Walmart did, and others. And anybody is increasing their pay for people who are going above and beyond. But this is not about slamming anybody. They have to do what they have to do because those are the people who are keeping their stores open. Those people have to be paid. They have to be compensated.
Now, we're going to make this available to independent pharmacies who are within our association, and are we saying to them, here's a blank slate, go ahead and do what you think you need to do, or have you developed a intricate training program that will guide them step by step to how to be a provider in their neighborhoods?
The answer is yes, except you have to remove the word intricate. Number one, because I'm not sure what that means, but also because that means that it's difficult. We're taking a KISS approach. We're taking a keep it simple, stupid approach. We have a pharmacy on the neighborhood in the corner drugstore, the corner pharmacy, like my dad had one on Jamaica Avenue and 109th Street in Queens for 60 years. Okay, that patient needs that pharmacy and the pharmacist in there to take care of them. He or she, that pharmacy, will have an iPad solution which will allow them to do that medication reconciliation, and the system that we're going to give them will bill to Medicare based on the code that we're hoping and waiting for Medicare to announce. Because Jason, you and I, you know, go back a long way. We never went to school for coding. We
no.
never went to school for billing processes
never.
And for all that.
No
but
idea.
If we don't do it with and for that independent pharmacy, you could make provider status to everybody and they wouldn't know how to get billing. We are
Correct.
Going to turn into the most important service provider for independent pharmacies to not only keep them alive, but to give them the opportunity to be compensated for all the things that they should have been before this horrific pandemic hit us. And let's just save lives and put the pharmacists to work because they want to and they can do the things that other healthcare professionals just cannot.
This is as much as it's a very scary time, I think that it's a very exciting time for pharmacists. You've really provided a systematic approach to take care of people and our patients and allow us to practice the way that we were trained to practice.
Well, I didn't do anything but just be a hard-ass guy who just said, if I think I want to become that care provider, nobody's going to tell me I can't, and I'll get my ass kicked all the way to Sunday until I get there.
Yep.
And if it takes what's going on right now to make those pharmacists, those hardworking pharmacists, like my dad, like Howie Jake, like everybody, you know,
yes.
We know who we are.
We know you all.
We know you all. And we feel your pain of, this isn't about DIR and PBM reform, which is a whole other topic. This is about letting a pharmacist save a life. And if there's anybody in our healthcare system or in our government who doesn't believe that that is the intent, and that's what's going
to
happen.
It's really as simple as that.
It's as simple as that. Let us go and save some lives. Okay, we're not ventilators, but we can save lives.
So in the last couple minutes that we have left tonight, is that your end statement? Let us in, coach, and we'll save some lives.
Well, yeah, why not? Football isn't a life's. Well, again, if you bet it, it could kill you.
But, depends who you bet with.
But I have to tell you one thing. You know, you and I know each other pretty well. And when I was at CVS, you know, the numbers.
Yes.
To me, the numbers right now, you can't look at the numbers because they're unconscionable. You just can't imagine. you know, and you're not going to wake up tomorrow and less people are going to die, have would have died than they did today. So the number that I look at is one. What can one person do to impact hundreds and thousands of lives? And if you're young and you're out there and you're just not listening to social distancing scenarios, you're putting hundreds, if not thousands, of people at risk. If you are one pharmacist who believes that he or she can make a difference, like you do every day, and like I do with Dr. Goodman, to make sure that I can connect him to patients so he can continue to do what he does, that is what one person can do to impact hundreds and thousands. And we're in a position right now where everybody, you don't have to go to pharmacy school to understand that if you're not being a socially, you know, distant person, you could be hurting, you know, your own family, your own grandmother, your own, you know, family members. So my message is one person. And one person, when you add the 300 million that we have in our country, there isn't anybody who could beat us if we get behind each other and go side by side and make sure that we beat this together, and we will come out as a better nation, a stronger nation, because we will have defeated a horrific, horrific enemy that we can't even see.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Pharmacy Podcast Network, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. Ken Sternfeld, founder of RxVIP Concierge, I would like to thank you for joining me tonight on the coronavirus blog. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it's really important for everybody to remember what Ken just said. One person can affect thousands of lives. And we want to be there for you. Pharmacists are here to help. And ladies and gentlemen, have a wonderful evening. Be safe with your families and stay home. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network. If you enjoy the leading podcast network dedicated to the business and profession of pharmacy, please write us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know which channel is your favorite. And remember, the pharmacist is the hub of healthcare.